It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We are presently studying in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Just before we get into the book of Ephesians, let me invite you to get your Bible, if at all possible, and follow along as I read the Word of God. It's important for you to see the Word as well as to read it. And in fact, while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, let me read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, the Word of God is so important for the Christian that the Christian needs to stay in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's alive, and it brings life to those people who have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a living book. It's the living Word of God. And that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 goes on to say it's powerful. It's powerful. It's able to save anyone who is willing to come to Him, faith believing that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Savior. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp. It goes to the innermost being. That's how that the Word of God reaches an unsaved person, to let that person know that he or she needs Jesus Christ as Savior. And it also works in the life and the heart of a Christian, letting the Christian know there's something that comes into the life that shouldn't be there. That Christian is warned about this through the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It gets to the real matter of the heart of the thing. In other words, it lets us know exactly what's right and what's wrong. And it goes to the innermost being of the person. It goes down to the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we look at the Word of God and we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, you know, the old human thoughts try to creep in, but once we fill our minds and our heart with the Word of God, those thoughts turn to Him. The thoughts and intents of the heart need to be programmed toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, towards God the Father. Remember, God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son that we could have everlasting life. We can never thank Him enough for that, because one day we're going to see Him because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And let me remind you of this. We need to be looking up and waiting for our Savior to come back for us. He's coming for us one day. And some of us will not even lose the breath of life before Jesus comes back and says, "Come up hither." Now, I say some of us, it may be Jesus could come today and He could come tomorrow or next week or next year, maybe 100 years, I don't know. But some of us, those people who name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, some will not taste death as we know death today of the breath leaving the body, but we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we look at that as we go through the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at that later on as we study the book of Ephesians. Well, last time we left off in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I mentioned last time that we don't get saved by feeling. We get saved by Jesus Christ. It's a fact. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole." And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And Acts 16:31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You see, these verses are not only good for that person who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. It lets them know that they too can be saved by Jesus Christ. And it lets us who are saved, it reminds us of how we got saved and that we are saved by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who is going to take us to heaven one day. The Bible is true. The Bible says, believe God when he says in his word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. You're saved because you've called upon the name of the Lord. You're saved because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that person who has never done that, they can be saved as well by calling upon Jesus Christ to save them. You see, salvation is a fact. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God is no respecter of persons. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a salvation, to a knowledge of salvation, to receiving him. He is salvation. I want to read that verse one more time. John 1:12. But as many as received him. There's going to be many who received and who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even people coming out of the great tribulation, as we study it in the Word of God, it says there's going to be an innumerable host of people who have been saved. They've come out of great tribulation. People will still get saved during the tribulation. But let me say this to you who have never trusted Jesus Christ. The tribulation is coming. And just as the rapture of the church is coming, so is the tribulation. The rapture of the church will take place first. And then those people who are left behind who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will go through a time of trouble that has never been upon on this world before. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. But today, as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, he gives them power today to become the sons of God. Why would a person put that off and have, you know, the awfulness of looking forward to going into the tribulation period and suffering? Well, the person who trusts Jesus Christ today, they will not go through that tribulation period because Jesus is coming for us, those of us who have trusted him. To them gave he, and that's us, to them gave us, he gave us power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Everybody in this world can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Once again, he's no respecter of person. He does not make a difference in anyone, color, race, male, female, it makes no difference. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. Salvation is a fact, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12. Salvation is also by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, once again, that should give us, as Christians, That should help us to remember what has taken place in our life. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Do you realize that it is even God who gives us the faith to believe? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's the Word of God again. The Word of God goes forth and touches the heart. And we have been saved because of the Word going forth. And God has placed within us, he's given us the ability to have that faith that's necessary to trust his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves. We've done nothing to be saved. We simply accept what has already been done for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And you and I who know Jesus today as Lord and Savior, we need to be rejoicing daily because he's given us that eternal life. It also goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, and verse 9, let's back up there just a minute. Verse 8 continues to say, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. A person needs to receive that gift, and thank God for those of you and I who have received the gift of God. That gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us that gift of eternal life. Verse 9, Ephesians chapter 2 says, not of works. We can't work our way to heaven. We did nothing to gain salvation except with the exception of trusting Jesus Christ and receiving the free gift that he's given us. And that free gift of salvation is not of works. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't do anything to please God so much that he's going to say, come on in, I forgive you of your sin. And this would be after a person dies. That's not going to happen. We don't get there by doing something good or being good. We're not good enough. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. That means that everything that I do apart from Jesus Christ is as filthy rags. Everything that I did before I got saved was as filthy rags in the sight of God. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ that pleases God. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could go to heaven by working our way there, then we could say, we didn't need you, God. We didn't need you to get here because we made it on our own. We worked our way here. But you see, there's no way that we can brag about that because it's not going to happen. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Salvation is a fact. Salvation is by faith. And then I see that salvation brings the feeling. Some people, the old saying is, gets the cart before the horse. They want to have a feeling. They think that in order for them to be saved, they've got to have a feeling. They've got to work up something. They've got to have that feeling in order to be saved. And let me say that there's a fact that Jesus saves, and there's a fact that salvation is by faith, trusting Jesus Christ. Salvation brings the feeling once the person is saved. Don't look for the cart before the horse. We need to realize that joy comes after we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. I'm sure that you've read this before, and you've studied this. It says, and Philip said, if thou believest. Now, he's speaking here to the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember, he was in the desert there, and Philip joined himself to this Ethiopian's chariot, and he started talking with this man. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, the Ethiopian had already, Philip had explained to him that he could be baptized after he got saved. The Ethiopian said, what's keeping me from being baptized right now? And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And notice this, he went on his way rejoicing. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. That's the joy that comes of knowing that you're on your way to heaven, that you have heaven. And it's right there. It's the same as being there right now, because Jesus Christ gives us that joy in our hearts of knowing that we're not going to have to put up with this old world. We're going to have life everlasting. We're not going to hell any longer. We're going to be with Jesus Christ in heaven forever, forever, and forever. If you do not know him today, trust him as your Lord and Savior. And if you do know him, you need to be rejoicing in the Lord today, because he loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his life for you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.